the lights don't come on because it's daylight.
Yeah, I have to say the highlight of this entire recording for me has been occasionally watching you plunge into darkness and then suddenly wave your arms around like the Team America distress.
Yeah. It's like being in school or the office, you know, when the lights go off, like just being like
one of those toilet cubicles.
Yeah, like if you've just got in there for a little bit of you time. Yeah, and
But the light switches off weirdly quickly, and then you sort of wave your arm, and then you realize that the motion sensor is outside the cubicle. So you have to unlock the cubicle, stick your arm out of the cubicle, wave into the dark to get the lights to come back on.
Yeah.
Hello, dear listener. Welcome to the Garrick Club, in which we're all having a drink, and Bailey and Onikos have been welcomed, of course, as members, because got to move with the times.
Yeah, we're wearing fake mustaches and cod pieces.
Lovely. Welcome to the Garrick Club. Mahogany walls dripping in privilege, where we all naturally belong, of course, except Onikos, who remains dressed not to impress, and Michael too. But there we are.
Wow.
Here to discuss the previous room. But here to discuss last week's room. Before we do that, though, let us introduce ourselves and introduce our drinks. My name is Jonathan David Charles Saunders II, and I will be moving on to a Buffalo Trace bourbon in a moment. But before, I'd like to discuss my beer. My beer is this. It is anti-establishment lager.
Surely that's not allowed at the Garrick?
Well, quite. But don't worry. Its anti-establishment credentials are about to melt like
butter.
Because... Okay, so this is an Aldi beer, and it has anti-establishment found conscious living lager written on it. However, if you actually read any of the small print on the can, there's nothing. There's nothing about anything. That's just what they decided to name the lager. There's no, like, charity that they donate to like, do anything. There's no cause. There's no anything. They've just written...
Yeah, but you know what? Why that'll be? Because they ripped off Punk IPA last year. No, a couple of years ago, and there was like a big court case over it. So this is their rip on, it's going to be their rip on BrewDog's Lost Lager.
Oh, anti-establishment found lager.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
So it's found, it's lost, I found. See. Literally, it's a cheeky, oh, to BrewDog.
I see.
Because they did that to Marks and Spencer's as well with the cake thing, wasn't it?
The caterpillar cake.
The caterpillar.
Colin, the caterpillar and...
Oh. Nolan the Natanilla.
Nolan. Oh, what was it? What was, well, the Aldi version of Colin.
Bert the butterfly.
Yeah, the worm. Yeah.
I feel thick for not realising that was that kind of gag, Mike. I feel really stupid now.
And you put it on the podcast. Yeah, for all to hear. There we go, John. Well done. Yeah,
done my podcast. So I'm moving on from the beer then. In that case, I'm switching straight to Buffalo Trace bourbon with an ice cube in it. Cheers, everybody. And locked in the Garrick Club with me today, we have...
I'm Aled, and I'm drinking green tea.
Fuck is that?
Ooh,
what? Is that actual green tea, or is that like green tea the cocktail?
Is that citrus? It is
citrus green tea.
Mm.
Wait. Jesus. So to be clear, listeners, this is a bottle. This isn't like
a plastic bottle. Green tea.
This is a big bottle with a sort of... incredibly ornate design on it with a greeny turquoise sky and a yellow floor, I guess, and some kind of blossom tree in it. It's all very...
Probably Japanese cherry blossom is being referenced.
Yes,
there.
Japanese cherry blossom. It's kind of working a sort of vaguely shogunite vibe.
How is ours?
It's really nice.
Have you put a bit of something special in it or...?
Nope.
Nope? Oh, very nope. Well. Are you on a house kick or something?
He's just naturally chilled vibe.
It's just nice to drink.
Okay.
Fair enough. It's after 10 o'clock. This is it caffeinated green tea? I can't remember.
Uh-oh.
I think green tea is not caffeinated, or it's a lightly caffeinated, but it's
surely,
got other...
Surely, there's some like caffeine in there. That's not going to like...
Right, hang on.
I know that by proximity to Michael, it's going to keep him awake, but...
Says nothing about caffeine.
Mike, you're safe.
And just as Jonathan said that, Mike looked off to his right.
Yeah.
There was a beast about to enter the bedroom.
No, I heard the door opening. I hoped and dreamed that it wasn't my baby being delivered to me, being still awake, but she went back down again really quickly.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Mike. Hello. I'm drinking a freshly opened bottle from Christmas, a Graham's 2018 Vintage Port. I don't know how 2018 is a vintage, but it's a nice...
Very good choice.
It's a nice tawny port.
It's about the harvest, isn't it? Vintage years and non-vintage years.
What, like leap years?
Yeah, it's about... I don't know who does it, but there's a body that declares whether the given year is a vintage year or not.
Is it a body?
And I presume there must be a different body for each region.
Is it a body that's got skin in the game?
Absolutely.
I thought that vintage was from the French word vendage, meaning wine of the year.
Oh, it probably is.
It definitely was made in a year.
For tonight.
But I'm pretty certain every year is not a vintage year.
Mm.
In like proper winemaking, I think it has to be kind of declared. I wish I knew this.
Well, write in, listeners, to the Infinite Escape Room. Let us know.
Write into the Garrett Club and tell them.
Yeah, winemaking escape room enthusiasts, write to the Garrett Club.
Or listeners' children who have found this podcast in the ears of their deceased parents and died during the initial escape room.
Jesus.
Oh, I will go to the loo and have a drink, but first I need to finish this episode. It can't be much longer. I just die of thirst and wee.
Hello, I'm Bailey. And I'm drinking a lovely wine. As I said in the previous episode, it's my first white wine in a long time because I've been pregnant.
Hello, I'm Anagos, and I am currently wrapped in a duvet drinking something that I think tastes like how being wrapped in a duvet feels. And it's a cup of tea by the company Clipper Teas, and it's their Sleep Easy.
Oh, I love that one. It's really nice.
So nice. And we've tried many a bedtime tea. And this one is just, I remember when I first tried it, it genuinely tasted like lying in your duvet, but in a mug.
Clipper, your invoice is in the post for that little plug. That was stellar.
Just send me some of your amazing products because I love them.
Yeah. Send Clipper, send Onikos tea.
Yes.
Don't send it to me. I won't drink it.
Coffee snob.
And whiskey snob. Getting there anyway, slowly, slowly. You guys are all fresh, very fresh.
So fresh.
From my hierarchy-based room, which I mistakenly believed was going to be too easy and so took out two hints, which I now realize I should have left in.
Right.
And the two hints were as follows. There was going to be some kind of like little poem on the wall next to the rotas that you started with that basically told you which is...
For fuck's sake. Sorry.
Emma's waving her arms around again.
Jesus Christ. I can't even work out the timer on it. Jesus. Sorry. Sorry, John. Continue.
You know Alan's in the next room just turning it off every now and then.
He's just giving it to Nye. Like,
this is a really specific version of gaslighting. Oh, yeah, it's on a timer. I don't know what it's on.
Oh, God.
Wonderful. Yes, there was going to be some kind of like a short poem on the wall next to the rotors that would have hinted you as to whether, you know, better to be like one is better or four is better, basically. Because
that would have been very helpful, John.
That would have been beautifully helpful.
I thought that would hint it too heavily. And the other one was that when you got to the second space, a hint saying north is up, because that would have taken you back to the compasses and thinking about up and down and what that does. But I thought, how? They'll just tell them what to do. That's the compass is the only thing left at this point. They'll figure it out. And you did. But you're like, Alad, you went straight to let's compare these compasses. Maybe they're different, which is perfectly logical when I think about it. But it hadn't even occurred to me that having left those rooms, you would, and again, I feel stupid saying this, that you would leave them behind. That sounds dumb.
What do you mean?
But you did.
If we'd taken them with us, then surely the
compass would have changed.
Compass would have changed.
So by leave them behind, I meant leave the rooms behind, as in leave the... You guys all seem to think the rooms were dead.
Not at that necessarily. Point. It's just we hadn't decided to explore the compass yet.
Yeah, I think we got to that bit pretty quick. I think we made that leap pretty quickly. I think the bit that really, really threw me was, yeah, it was the hierarchy.
Yeah, and the, I just what want to say was that, more yeah. important, because like the seeds and that, like, it wasn't quite obvious what was better, or apart from the currency one, the others weren't quite as straightforward.
Yeah. I do just want to say, though, I actually really love the core mechanic of this.
Yeah, it was very good.
Like, I like the simplistic core mechanic. Like, yeah. I particularly like it because I feel like I solved a bit of it. So I'm like, yeah, therefore I like it. But I thought it was pleasantly simple, and it felt horrendously complicated up until it didn't, which is the sign of a good puzzle for me.
Yeah.
Because when we were...
Oh, thank you. You cottoned on to the basic core tenet very quickly, Mark. I think you called the order that it's about us and how we're different very early on.
But that didn't matter. That's fine, because apparently I can't, even if I've got a table of numbers in front of me, I can't write them in the right order and the right people.
Well, okay, can so I?
Symbols. God damn it.
But Bailey can.
But I was only based off of what everyone else was saying. I could kind of work out where I was then. Because to be honest, I didn't have any notes. And that, like, my brain isn't working to remember anything. So I was just listening. And then I opened a text message to, like, kind of have something to write on.
It's from me saying, Bailey, you're 3-2.
No, yeah, I opened a message from John and he gave me the answer. No, no. I opened, like, just something to write on my phone. I was just trying to work out. That's why I asked, like, what order does everything come in? Because I'd even forgotten that at that point. So it was just... so it's just working that out, and I just very nearly texted my brother with like train 3 or whatever, like just like
the mad ravings of somebody trying to work something out.
Yeah, I don't think that it would have been necessary for you to give us those hints that you were talking about. I think it would have been really helpful if you'd said, oh yeah, a notepad would be really great right from the start, because I'm pleased that Alad made a drawing of his room, because I did not. And I found it really difficult to sort of visualize.
So did I. I thought my drawing was completely wrong.
I got the circular
room.
Your
drawing was pretty close.
I wouldn't have known mine if it wasn't as simple as an X. Like.
I mean, I did draw these.
Yeah, I'll be honest, actually.
But I thought if I show you that, that's going to be like...
That's the thing. I think they were simple enough. They were simple enough that actually it did work, because yeah. Alad, you showed me your drawing and then you asked each place. It's like, oh, that looks a bit like a, and then I look, that made me look at mine and go, oh, hang on. Like if I draw this less shit, then it's actually like a bit like a 7. Mm-hmm. So
I kind of started thinking that when you started explaining Bailey's one, because I thought, oh, that sounds like a cross of some sort. And then I was like, oh, so is it something to do with
Easter and Jesus?
Yeah, Easter, Jesus.
He loved crosses.
All of the arms were equal length, so I thought maybe it's not that.
This is true.
Yeah,
but I did think it's something to do with maths because of the measuring tape. But I don't think I worked out while I was in the corridor that it was a giant 6 I was standing in.
So one of you, I can't remember who it was, but very early on, one of you said that it's something to do with the shape of these
I think
rooms.
I think Anarchos, it might be you saying something to do with currency. Something, it might be you saying...
Oh, yeah.
Currency, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Because I think that's what I was thinking is this like the shape of a pound sign or
yeah.
It was a very interesting thought.
Because had mine. I thought mine looked like a yen at one point, and I was like, oh, my God, Anarchos is so on this. And then nobody made a pound sign, and I thought that'd be unbelievably tedious to describe.
I thought mine would have been, like, you start, like, going straight on, and then, like, but then it was like, oh, no, it's an X. So then, yeah, but the way you described the rooms, John, from the beginning, it was like, this is going to come into play at some point. Yeah, so.
I hope so.
Yeah, hopefully.
I was accused a little while ago in the garden shed puzzle of doing a room that required a very clear understanding of the geography, but not describing the geography accurately or leaving.
As a listener, that is correct.
Several people, at least one person, a person.
Several people, one person.
Messaged in to say that they got it.
Well,
so
well,
what, a singular person.
One person.
A person, a real person who was not me on another social media account messaged in. But my point is that I was accused of basically having a room that required tremendously detailed geography and describing it badly. So I was like, right, this time the geography is going to be crucial. I'm going to describe it so clearly that nobody can screw this up. Nobody. And you didn't.
No, that bit we did pretty well. Like, yeah.
You did. You did very well. I thought it was too easy, which is why I put the compasses in. And I changed the starting point for everyone in the room so that you wouldn't draw it on the page as the number. So I made sure, for example, Mike, that you started at you started at the corner of the 7, because I knew you'd draw it with yourself looking up, because forward is always up. So I wanted you to draw it upside down.
Oh, that's very smart. I like that.
And Alan and Onikos had the same room, same shaped room, but you started at opposite sides so that neither of you would draw a 6 or a 9. You'd draw this sort of lopsided version. And Emma, your room was obviously the multiplication sign, but I spoke about it in such a way that you would draw it as a big plus.
Yeah. And that's why I was thinking weird, just the compass point.
Compass
then.
Point. Yeah, yeah.
What I wanted, and eventually you basically did, I wanted everyone to be sort of moving their paper in front of them.
You said we didn't need paper.
Into where North was.
You said we didn't need pen and paper, you said.
That was a throwaway comment. I didn't need that wasn't meant to be listened to. like Gordon Brown.
Nothing you say was meant to be listened to, John.
This is true. It's like we're married, Bailey. It really is.
Yeah, it just... but it's just like you're on the right track. Wink.
Yeah, that
and
was...
Just like,
oh, no.
And you're like, no. Like, that just...
We need to talk about that. I said we're on the right track to mean you're getting close. You're thinking about it in the right way. I did not say that.
What is your reference? The train.
Yeah, you delivered it with such a saucy wink. You delivered it, like, listeners, he delivered it. I mean, I can't even make the sound of a saucy wink, but he was like, you're on the right track.
Prick.
Jonathan, just to support you, I didn't necessarily get that out of the way that you delivered it.
Thank you.
I just thought it was an inadvertent pun, and then I went, wait, was it inadvertent? So then I just started doubting you. But I don't think you did it with the heft, for my interpretation of it.
I would agree, actually. I think it was an inadvertent pun. But then, obviously...
Thank you, Onikos.
You cannot be trusted, and you would say it in such a way without the inflection.
No, he's not that good a liar.
Emma's turning the lights on again.
Bloody hell.
Emma, can you do a little clap every time you turn the lights on? Just because it reminds me of that gadget that you used to have in America in the 80s for old people.
Oh, the clapper.
Clap on, clap off. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, I wish. That'd be good. No, it just does it whenever it bloody well likes.
Wait, the baby, though.
I think it'd be great just to have a switch on the wall about 2/3 of a person's height up. You could just turn on, it would stay on until you turn it on.
Yeah, like with thermostats.
Sounds great.
Novel invention.
Wow, I've never heard of that. Wow. Like, maybe people call it the big light. Yeah, just like, maybe, yeah, well, that was one of the things I knew. Marry and Alan, this is my life now. Like, it's just like, it was part of the marriage contract. Just like, everything in the house must be automated. He wants to live like Wallace and Gromit. Like, I swear, this, with the train tracks between rooms, he wants to do that in the house.
Fine. Oh, that was a puzzle idea that didn't fly. I was going to have the train go to all the rooms. And you'd have to like pass a key,
chase a penguin,
train, and
that turned into something else in my head. That was just like a miniature Jonathan Saunders sitting on the steam train,
choo-choo,
coming to visit us in turn.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yes, and you'd be pulling on the choo choo. Oh, and you'd be wearing those overalls and little red kerchief around your neck. But you would be smaller than our hand.
This is a very complete image.
Yes, this is how my brain works. It works in very complete images. And then it goes, oh, yes, if you're going to speak about this image, then I will add in more detail. Oh, see, now you're wearing wooden shoes. Listen, very sensible footwear if you're on a steam train, because if you drop something on those bad boys, then you are not going to hurt yourself.
That's true.
I mean, you can count on the Duchy to come and advertise clogs.
Yes, you can. Just don't climb ladders in them.
Okay, duly noted. Were there any aspects of the room that you felt were unfair? Apart from me saying you didn't need to take notes, I'm sorry.
That was a big one.
That's the main one.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
I would argue that wasn't part of the room.
I don't,
to be honest.
I did also wonder why did we need the tape measure? Measures?
In real, in real life. But we know our heights.
In real life.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, apparently.
I mean, I was only doing it because I thought I had to.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm going to be honest with you. I like the haptic nature of that. Yeah. I was half expecting, because when you found that John had messaged Alan to put a tape measure on your desk, that's, I was so expecting to open this to find that he'd messaged Laura to write a message on the inside of my tape measure. I was like,
Laura that's got a little baby. Can you imagine?
Yeah, yeah. And Laura would be like, fuck off, Jonathan.
Oh, no, exactly. It would have just been like, yeah, look, John, I've opened my tape measure up and it's just fuck John.
Fuck
like,
John.
20
like,
times.
How would that have worked with mine?
I don't know. Maybe John would have sent it to you in the post and then some chloroform so that you chloroform yourself afterwards so you forget.
Maybe.
Right, I'm recording this episode of The Infinite Escape Room in Alad's garden. He doesn't know I'm here. I'm going to throw this tape measure through his window. 3, 2, 1, here we go. Smash. That'd be great.
Oh, God.
Surprise escape room.
And Alad just goes,
free tape measure.
It happens to be broken, but look, I've got a tape measure out of it.
It's all good.
I'm quids in.
Yay. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, we've already established that he'd phone the Welsh Mafia to have someone's life inconvenienced.
By the bin men.
There's got to be, well, by bin men and milkmen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there have to
with
be
potty mouths.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bin men with potty mouths.
Yeah, milkmen with potty mouths. Getting called a cunt by your milkman. There's something, I feel like the milk curdles in his
and
hand.
And you know what he does? That. Like, if you leave out too many bottles for him, then he will smear a smear of cream cheese on
Jesus.
Your Ring doorbell.
Oh, God.
Your Ring doorbell.
Yeah, like, watch me now, bitch. Like, just like, yeah, just...
suck on this.
Yeah. But we did...
Yeah, but can you imagine if you, like, if a milkman approaches a door and smears something...
White.
...over the doorbell lens, something white and creamy over the doorbell lens, you're not going to immediately think that's Philadelphia, are you?
It depends on the consistency.
Delicious.
Yeah, and if anything, if there's one person in the community who's going to smear something white on your doorbell, basically, the milkman's the only person who's got a high probability of it being dairy-based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we did have lots of suggestions on how to pay him back, like not to put any of the milk bottles out for like months and then like write out twat, write out twat on the lawn in milk bottles or just smash them.
I bet.
Just everywhere.
I bet he wouldn't realise if you like spelled them out with twat on the floor. I don't think he'd notice. Yeah. I think he just stopped.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
fucking cunts. Again.
Or he'd stand there and just silently rearrange them to say cunts and leave every single one of them. Touché.
Oh, God.
Or leave his tip for next year in pennies inside the milk bottles.
Yes, that's absolute perfection.
That's good.
That's a good one.
And a scorpion underneath the pennies.
My dad once... had a scorpion left in his bed.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was...
By your mum?
No, he was on a business trip in Africa. He thinks possibly it was because he was chatting nicely to this one lady who was in the, you know, this conference about financial matters. And he thinks possibly somebody else was a bit jealous of the fact that he was having a nice chat with her. And then he, you know, very drunkenly, as businessmen do, went to bed. But he was like, oh, I'm not tired yet. I'm going to read a bit. And sort of swept something off the pillow next to him onto the floor. And then was like, hey, hang on. What was that? And then found out that it was a scorpion. And then the next day asked, somebody.
Is that a thing?
Do scorpions crawl into your bed? And the answer was no, they never crawl into your bed because they can't crawl. They can't jump that high. They can't climb. So,
Wow.
Oh, I love a bit of trivia.
I was like,
that is the James Bond story.
I was about to say, it's very James Bond.
In many ways, he was an international man of mystery because he would go on long business trips. And I always asked him, like, Dad, what do you actually do? And he said, I'm a lobbyist. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, I don't know.
See, my idea of hell is... like being in a job, you know, a nice
being at a job. That was a good sentence.
Shut up. I knew the second I said that. Here comes Mike. Here comes
well,
Mike.
Well, you left the trap baited, didn't you?
I did. But like being in a salary job.
Full stop.
And not knowing what I'm supposed to do. That, like the thought of that, like I'm getting a paycheck coming at the end of this month and I don't feel like I've really done anything and no one seems to know or care what I do. That fills me with dread.
Like Fran in Blackbird.
I think those jobs exist.
Oh, yeah.
Like corporate flunky jobs where you're kind of there just to be a sort of body.
I think they were more of a thing. I think they're less of a thing these days.
Yeah, I think before I think the pandemic and furlough and all that kind of weeded out a lot of people.
Can't be a Zoom flunky.
Yeah, because, well, I know when the pandemic happened, my manager suddenly, who had lots to do, suddenly was inundated with like meeting requests and phone calls from people that suddenly wanted to prove like, look, I'm busy. Oh, I've got so much to do. And she'd never heard from them before, like 2020. So it's just, yeah.
Wow.
So I think probably furlough and like people downsizing, you know, after the impact of COVID, like we did a few people. Like,
so those people, like, did she get rid of some of them? Was that her wake up call of, oh, you're
not
necessary?
No, they were all like people like either on the same level of as her or above.
But isn't that like one of those things where, you know, an engineer, say, starts at a company and he or she is a really good engineer and they keep promoting that person.
To one point beyond their point of competence, yeah.
Until they're no longer.
Is this Peter's principle?
There's a name.
Is that right, Peter's principle? You get, everyone ends up incompetent because you get promoted to one level above what you can actually do.
Is that what it is?
And then you don't get promoted again. So you end up with lots of people and jobs that they can't do.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, here we go. Here's the summary. Peter's principle is an observation that the tendency in most organizational hierarchies, such as that of a corporation, is for every employee to rise in the hierarchy through promotion until they reach a level of respective incompetence. Yeah, I'd say that scans.
Wow.
Because you're good at your job, you're good at your job, you're good at your job, you're good at your job. And then
you're in a job that you were never trained for or wanted to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that says to me more about
pays better than the previous.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. There's the reverse way that salary scales work compared to actual like value generated.
Mm. It's usually people management you get promoted to as well, which is a very, very different skill set.
That's such a different skill.
Mm. Wow.
Unless you're an actor, in which case you never get promoted.
Stay where you are.
You'll get a job one day, John. It'll be all right.
Then, with even a pension, maybe.
Hey, I'm on a pencil for a job right now. This very minute.
I thought you were going to say I'm on a job for a pencil. Oh, bloody hell, because he's gone down, isn't it?
just pay me with a single pencil. HB only, though. I've got standards.
We've got two sacks of IKEA stubbies. Take them or leave them.
Honestly, mate, the direction this industry is going in.
But this is where all the bullshit jobs are going. So, like, I think there used to be a lot of, like, bullshit fat in a lot of organisations. Like, universities used to be great for just kind of, like, weird jobs and roles and kind of academic roles and all sorts. But it's just kind of the last 10 to 13 years, draw your own conclusions about the links there.
This is a party political broadcast for the Labour Party.
But the constant kind of pressure and trimming and pressure and trimming and pressure and trimming and cost pressures has just forced people to just basically look for ways to squeeze more out of less, more out of less, more out of less.
Are you suggesting that the tendency of unbridled capitalism is to constantly demand more for less until the core of whatever product or service is being provided has been hollowed out and rotted until there's nothing left?
Basically, the really good episode of Search Engine by PJ Vogt recently had one of somebody on who's in kind of like print media basically sort of talked about the death of like generalist media and why it's like collapsing everywhere. And it's because lots of really good journalism is very cost inefficient to produce, like war reporting, for example, like massively expensive. Like, you know, you've got to get a person out there, you've got to get, you know, bodyguards for them, you've got to bribe people to not put scorpions in their bed, that kind of thing. Also, like investigative journalism famously takes a long time, a lot of detailed work, and
often doesn't pay off.
Like, sometimes doesn't pay off, or you get like a headline, you run for a week, and that's it. And in the old days, that was fine because you had, you know, the opinion pieces and the celebrity headlines and everything. That was kind of, that was paying the bills. And the advertising that went along with, like, print media, because it was kind of the only show in town, that was paying the bills and that was fine. But then there's been more competition as, like, what were previously regional papers all became national. And then obviously the internet competing with the same kind of news space. Suddenly they've all had to get a lot more competitive. So the fat that they used to have, which they used to do the stuff that was probably less profitable but more important from a journalistic perspective.
Because fat, famously, very nutritious and delicious.
Yeah, that's all. And but I heard that and I thought, oh, Jesus, like, this is what's happening in universities at the moment as well. And I'm kind of seeing it happening in lots of kind of companies and places, just kind of all over the place. It seems to be like the new trend, because people are going like, oh, why isn't this working now? Why isn't this on you? Like, because, you know, some of this stuff wasn't cost efficient at all, but it was important. So people did it anyway, and you paid with it with the other stuff. And now people are just going, oh, this is stuff that pays. This is what we're going to focus on. Oh, why have we lost all of this kind of, like, you know, stuff that was important? That's, anyway, sorry.
No, it's a fascinating observation. I think we're seeing a sort of strange perversion of media in all sorts of odd ways. I've really noticed that everything's clicks now, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's clicks because everything's online advertising driven. So the tendency for the headlines of articles to bear almost no resemblance to the content is now widespread and absolutely rampant. Like, the amount of stuff I've read lately where I've gone, oh, wow, that sounds... And then you read it and, okay, this is seven times more nuanced than the headline suggested. The headline isn't a good representation of what's actually being discussed in the article. In a court of law, this would be straight up misrepresentation. And it's a consequence of everything being clickbait. Mm.
Well, that's what sells. You know, it's not papers now, is it? Like you say, it's clickbait. Sad times.
But it makes me sad because I love, like, a really long, in-depth
article based on fact would be nice.
Article based on fact, but like...
It's interesting.
But like something that really gets into something. I love that. I crave that. And it's harder to find.
Don't pay anymore. Don't pay the bills. Sorry. Bleak theme. Less bleak theme.
So, we've of the five of us here, we've got two relatively new parents, two not new parents, and Aled.
Who's living his best life.
New recipient of emphysectomy.
Who's living his best life.
Aled, who looks the most tired of the lot, weirdly.
Yeah, it is interesting. So, you guys who... Bearing in mind, you're relatively new parents. How is it comparing to your expectations?
I didn't have expectations, really. I don't know. I think it's still all been like...
Is that because it was like there was nothing?
Yeah, it's just too much to like... Definitely one of the things becoming a new parent, I don't know if you think this, Mike, is that you feel like, oh my God, I'm so sorry to all my friends that have been parents and I really didn't get it and I should have been there maybe a bit more for you. Like, I totally, like, some of my friends that have got kids.
This is duly noted.
It really takes a village. But not that I would have been any good, because Nye was the first nappy I changed, so I'm an expert at it now.
But because part of the function of the village is to do the other stuff.
Yeah, that you totally.
Have time and energy for, like, maybe you could have changed a nappy, but you could have put a wash on. You could have, done the hoovering,
baked a lasagna.
It was a bit different, John, because you live a long road, long way away. But yeah, I just feel like that, and it's just. Yeah, so we'll definitely be paying that forward to...
Interesting.
If you have another one, John, or...
Before Grace came along, I was chatting to my then boss at the tour guiding company I was working at, and he was expecting his second. And I asked him, do you have any advice, anything you wish you'd known? And he sort of thought about it for a minute. He was a very thoughtful chap. And then said, he looked dead-eyed me, which was quite strange, and then said, it's her... Or it's you, or it's her, or it's you, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And he said that with such gravity, it was slightly frightening, in a South African accent, which I can't do, which made it more frightening, obviously, because terrifying. it wasn't until we were in it that I really realized the full import of what he meant. Oh yeah, it's the last time when you don't have this whole other thing that must always be accounted for at all times. And it's her or it's you, or it's her or it's you, always, until they're like a full-on kid. And the other thing is time. Our neighbor across the street, shortly after Grace arrived, just sort of, his kids were both grown-ups. And I just say grown-ups, not adults, like I'm five. You're a grown-up. He has adult children. And he said, oh, when you have kids, time gets roller skates. And I was like, yeah, sure. Thanks, Colin. But my God, was Colin right. There's something about the rubber banding quality of time that a day can be an eternity or can be a nothing that just dials up to 11 once kids are in the picture in a very weird way. And also because they change so quickly.
God, yeah.
It's like go away on a short tour of like 3 days, come back, and Grace, who was then a toddler, would be a different person to the one when I'd left 3 days ago, with a different voice, a slightly different appearance. It was very, very strange because their rate of growth is so incredible. I mean, you guys must be experiencing this now that you get a different baby each day.
I think one thing I've heard is that the nights are long, but the years are short.
I heard that the days are like years and the years are like days.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. That's a good shout. That's a good phrase. I think part of...
Is that a Dutch phrase?
No, I think it's a... I don't know. I heard it in the English language.
It does feel like it's a product of... poor long-term memory due to bad sleep, though. Like it's harder for your brain to mechanically make long-term memory without enough sleep.
Sorry,
Emma's doing the lights again.
Yes, but also it is genuinely that thing of some days, and still some days just feel interminable. But then also I look around and my kids are almost seven, and I'm like, wait, what? When did that happen?
Mike,
John.
How have you found him? It's like I just switched him back on.
Seven. It was like you went into a little bit of sleep with your eyes wide open.
I'm sorry. Weirdly, this is the time I'm normally actually waking up to start my second wake up of the night. 7 out of 10.
Would baby again?
Yeah, no. Okay, 7 out of 10. It is the death of self. But what comes after isn't bad.
It is.
It's just... very different.
Yeah.
It's very much the death of what you
are. Are you describing parenting as an afterlife?
No. It's just there's kind of like there's an a life evolution. You have before.
Like you going up a Pokemon evolution.
No, definitely. Because that makes it sound like I do more elemental damage or something. No, I feel like
it helps, Mike. I don't feel like it's the death of self, but it is definitely a long hibernation of self. Because I've got friends who have older children and they are it does feel like they're coming out of hibernation, or they're climbing out of cocoon, and they have more time and they have more energy and they have more self again. They're sort of, and of course, after, 10 or 13 years has gone by, you have to sort of re-find that self. But
that's the thing. When I say it's the sort of death self, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, it's the death of the self as well. And you get something new out of it. And I absolutely adore my daughter. She's brilliant. I enjoy the person I am when I'm around her.
Hayley, what are your thoughts on that?
Hayley says, because she's learned how to play raspberries. And she's been having a bit of a sleep progression because, when they learn a new skill, their sleep gets a bit spotty. Well, it turns out that her new skill that's been disrupting her sleep is learning to blow better raspberries. And she's unbelievably pleased with herself. So she blows them, laughs, looks at you and goes, do you see what I just did? And she does it again. And it melts my heart. I absolutely love it.
She's your daughter.
And I pick her up and she goes, hi. I'm like, oh, babe, you are the best. Like, yeah, so it's good. I mean, and there's bits of me that's like, oh man, I would absolutely love to just sit in my pants and eat crisps and play video games for like 3 or 4 hours, but that's okay, can't do that.
Aled, you are childless
as far as you know.
Do you, as far as which,
as far as I know,
going to do Boris Johnson?
Jesus, why don't you do that to me?
Is this a Jeremy Kyle like episode?
Well, yeah, you are childless, or so you thought. Right, security, can we bring up Alan's offspring through the window, broken by the
Jeffrey? Can you bring in the DNA tests, please, and the children?
There it is. Alan, how do you feel about it all, and has your perspective been altered by lots of your friends having kids? Because you're at that point in your life when like everyone's getting married, everyone's having kids. How do you feel about it?
I have more appreciation for kids now.
You have more appreciation for kids now.
So not so much for the parents, but more for the kids. Interesting. Interesting.
No, just enjoy it, Alid. Like, enjoy it. Just
that was nice.
Do you have like new parent friends sort of? Do your new parent friends like grab you by the shoulder and say like, enjoy your life, Alid. Enjoy it while it's there.
Live it for us, Alid. Live it for us.
Yeah, basically, I have to just wave the torch now, don't I?
But have I mean like you're an uncle now as well, Alid, and like you're an uncle with nephew. Is it niece, but who's of an age where you can play with her now?
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's just different, isn't it?
Because that was the step. One of the step changes for us was Jacob, my nephew, coming along and being like, "Oh, like you're pretty cool."
Nephews and nieces, the gateway drugs.
Yeah. I definitely felt. I didn't necessarily start to feel like, "Oh, I want to have kids," when my brother had kids, but I definitely did go, "Oh, these kids are so much better than any other kid." Like the bond was instant. Yeah, genuinely.
Yeah.
Now I've had my kids and my kids are better than his kids. But, you know, but just in the sense of there's that natural thing. But in the hierarchy of kids, it's my kids and then my brother's kids in terms of sort of how that biological response has worked for me. Like, those are the four most important kids in the world to me.
I wonder, does everyone have that? Does everyone look at their kid and go, you're the best kid? Or does some people look at their kid and go, B minus?
No, they're wrong. That's fine.
I would trade you in for Joey down the road.
Yeah.
But Alec, I was just building off, because when you met your brother's kids. So with Jacob, it was a case of, he didn't make us go, oh, we really want kids. But we stopped being, because before we were really, no, we're never going to have kids. And with Jacob, we were like, if kids happen, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. Mm-hmm. Like that was the position we moved to. And then where it got to with us was that we were like, it's not that we think having kids is the right decision, but we think not having kids is the wrong decision.
Mm. Interesting. Can you unpack that further?
No.
No.
I think that's
as far as the unpack went.
I've never heard it phrased that way.
No, but it wasn't so much that we were going, yeah, kids, definitely. But we were going like, I think we are missing something that would, yeah, like I think that's the trouble. It felt like not doing it would be the wrong decision for us, I should say, for us.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting. There's definitely a line, and I've got to be careful here because I don't want to fall into the, your life isn't complete unless you've had children, because that's
not true.
It's not
hot bullshit. I was having a great life.
It's hot bullshit. And the worst thing, like that so many childhoods have been awful because people had kids because they didn't actually want them, and the kid realized, and fuck me, what an awful thing to go through. Thanks, Dan. I'm kidding.
I got dark.
Or are you? Yeah.
Oh, am I? But knowing, I know a few couples who are like retired now and never had kids, and there's something different about them.
Yeah.
That it's not that they're, I was going to say there's something odd, but I don't even mean they're odd. It's like they haven't had the corners knocked off them in the same way.
But I do think that there's a difference between people of that age who didn't have kids because they were like, do you know what? That is absolutely not the right choice for us. And we are so happy living a child-free life. And, you know, they just go off and live their best life. And the people who...
And have holidays for cheap.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, do whatever they want. But I think there's such a difference between people who chose to be child-free freely and willingly without any biological urges going, oh, but really, you should procreate. And those who didn't want to be child-free, but through circumstance were left child-free, because I think there is a different, and I can't necessarily speak from experience, but I do think that there is a sort of a different edge to that.
That must be almost daily reminders of here's what you could have won, which would be really hard.
Yeah.
To cope with. Oh, new parents question. Have you guys yet had the people going, so when's number two coming?
Every fucking health visitor.
Really? The health visitor? Not just people. Like,
are you sure they're not just asking you about? Yeah, are you sure they're not just asking whether you're using protection?
No, the health visitors, and I want to say the midwife as well. Yeah, they're all pretty much like, oh, see you next year. And I'm like, no.
Oh my God. Like, they talked about contraception, but that's about like not having another one. Just
all they've done is they've been like, watch out. She is like, you know, you look at her wrong and poof. And they're all like, oh, you know, so, you know, see you next year. That'll be number two on the way soon. We're like, no. They're like, ha, no, genuinely, I am slamming my schlong in the fridge door daily.
No, you're slamming your schlong in my Tesla door because it's your turn, boy.
What does that mean? Is there a genuine Tesla door
slamming
club?
That's a callback to several episodes ago when Mike would not stop saying, I hope you slam your dick in your Tesla's door.
Oh, John, that must have been 6 months
ago.
I can't remember anything from there. I thought you were just dropping in that you had a Tesla into the chat again, like all Tesla owners do.
No.
Any chance he gets. Yeah.
Oh, fuck it. No, that wasn't it.
I mean, I'd be doing it in a Dacia door, John. I'm not going to be boasting that, am I? I'm not going to be going like, I'll slam my dick in a Dacia door. I mean,
other door makes are available.
The Dacia would come off worse.
I was going to say the Dacia.
I could write it off slamming my dick in that.
It's a giant dent in the door.
I have got a dent in my Dacia. A bin hit it. A bin got picked up by the wind and bounced off my car.
Is that code for another Dacia? Or?
No, do you know what? Dacia is one of the few cars that if it gets rear-ended, actually goes up in value. Because like, if some metal transfers from another car, like, you know, that's materially increased the value of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think if you do need vasectomy, Allard is available.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel weirdly better about do it yourself more than do it Allard. Because I think, I don't know, I just feel like Allard would come with power tools.
I don't think you use power tools for a set.
I don't think you use Allard for a vasectomy.
I think you're saying Allard would.
How do you think it works?
Why wouldn't I, John? Speeds it up.
You don't want to be slow.
And on that note...
Jesus Christ. That was a lovely note to end on.
Apart from, actually, before we go, does anyone have any recommendations apart from do-it-yourself vasectomy or parenting?
I do, actually. Podcast that I don't know, it might have been mentioned before, but Kathy Burke, Where There's a Will, There's a Way.
Where There's a Will, There's a Way. I've heard of the show.
It's really good. So she has different... like comedian celebrities. It's like Dawn French, Bob Mortimer, like loads of people, but there's loads. And they talk about kind of death, how they died. Bob Mortimer said he wanted to...
So are they imagining their own funeral?
Oh, that's so cool.
So Bob Mortimer wanted to fight a bit to the death.
Naturally.
That's one I listened to. I was listening to it this morning. I can't remember.
Baby brain.
Definitely. And it's like funeral, wake, if you'd come back as an animal, vegetable, mineral and all that. So it's really good.
That's like the really dark version of the, what's the Ed Gamble?
Oh, Off Menu. I'm really into that as well. That's all I listen to.
It's like if Off Menu goes south.
They mention each other. Well, she mentions Off Menu because they talk about what your last supper would be as well. So, and they've got little it's really good. Like it's not as dark. It's really like quite funny. It's very funny because it's Kathy Burke. So,
Kathy Burke's wonderful.
A genius. So, so definitely recommend that as a podcast.
Okay. Very good recommendation. Very strong. Thank you, Bailey. Anyone else?
Aversion by Alistair Reynolds. Really good. Alistair Reynolds, sci-fi book. Aversion, Eversion. Been ploughing through audiobooks with the night feeds. So bone conducting headphones so I can hear Hayley. And she's like asleep in my arms, being night fed. Can't, hands busy, so listening to audiobooks at night, thundering through them. Aversion by Alistair Reynolds. Really good sci-fi. Keeps you guessing. Kind of a mystery as well, and a kind of psychologically thriller kind of thing. Just excellent. Really excellent. The perfect book to get back into audiobook, not reading with a small child.
Okay, Alistair Reynolds, Aversion.
Aversions.
Thank you. Onikos, anything? Shake of the head. Too busy. twins life.
I think I found with podcasts the same things I find with books, is that I need to have the time and the brain power to attend to them. And I just don't have the brain power and the time.
Fair enough. I would argue, given your performance in The Rooms of Haduan, you do have the brain power. You just may not have the time.
No, maybe it's, I guess, because you're actively asking something of me. But I can also kind of slightly dip in and out of my own thoughts, whereas with a book, I want to focus and really immerse myself in it. I will say, as a recommendation, if you want something really silly and brainless to watch, but that is something that is also quite joyful, Is It Cake on Netflix.
Yes.
Laura loved that.
The host is very weird. He's like if Jim Carrey had a less accessible brother.
He's very weird. He's very sort of dour and po-faced, but also, like, one of the things he really enjoyed in season three was how much the contestants all really loved each other and how lovely they were. And he was sort of gushy about it, but all with his very, very straight face and a slightly weird delivery because he's Mikey Day.
Okay. Is
Still
It Cake?
Very enjoyable. Yeah.
Alad, thinking face. Thinking face.
I say The Gentleman on Netflix. It's quite fun.
The series or the movie?
Gentleman.
The series.
Oh, has that started?
Yeah. So the movie was obviously fantastic.
Yeah.
The series is equally fantastic.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to renew Netflix for this.
Was the film Matthew McConaughey in, like, a recent one? Or am I thinking?
It's Vinnie Jones.
Is this in the TV series?
Yes, yeah, different cast.
Ray Winston.
Yeah. Ray Winston, that's the name of it.
Vinnie Jones and Ray Winston. Shut
Theo
up and
James
take my money.
And
Alan Titchmarsh in as well.
Daniel, what's his face? I don't think Alan Titchmarsh is in there.
I'm pretty sure he is.
No, but, you know, Alan Titchmarsh famously with blurred out jeans in North Korea.
I know.
That's wonderful.
Because he's packing a massive dick.
Raging.
It must,
raging boner
it must
from
Titchmarsh. Like
yeah.
That, mustn't it?
Too much.
Very good. My recommendation is TV, and it's Slow Horses season one, and only season one. Slow Horses is a very fun, it's like Line of Duty if it was fun and not po-faced all of the time, but that kind of thing, but set in MI5 with a bunch of agents in MI5 who have all been basically fired but not quite because of career ending mistakes. So it's like
sold.
All of the protagonists are those shit ones that didn't make the Bond film, including Gary Oldman playing their kind of
I love him.
Boss, Jackson Lamb, as this disillusioned cockney who seems to have insisted that he is eating something in every single scene. And I don't mean the furniture. He has some fantastic one-liners and is wonderful. And it's a really compelling series. But I will say, watch the first series and then put it to bed. It doesn't ever quite...
Where does one watch this?
Oh, sorry. It is on Apple TV.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Which we only have because we realized that the TV we have comes with a 3-month trial of it and we never turned it on. So, oh, that's a thing. Turn that on. Oh, cool shows. This looks great. So, yes, I've been enjoying Slow Horses. And speaking of bed, which I briefly did then before Mike crudely interrupted my sick segue to ending. I think it's time we all went to ours.
Yes,
it is.
Thank you for joining us, dear listeners. Thank you for joining me, new parents, old parents, and Alad. We've been the Infinite Escape Room. We're going to leave the Garrity Club now.
Night-night.
Good night.
Shh.